Praise God. Thank you, Ron. Thank you, brother. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. I always feel it's a great privilege to share with you the Word of God and to be asked to come to this great church. And there's just a joy in my spirit to go to church tonight. Yes. Amen. Yes. Praise God. You know, I have just enjoyed worshiping with you today, singing and praising the Lord. Keep on doing that, please. Do not let anything interfere with the hunger to magnify His holy name, because it is right. And it is something that we have the privilege of doing. I wasn't going to mention this, but the other song that you sang, I'm afraid I don't know all of these songs, but there was a word in there about us saying or singing Alleluia. What was that song called? Pardon me? Something, how many?
Waiting here for you.
Okay, say it good and loud, brother.
Waiting here for you.
Waiting here for you. And so I heard the word, was it there? Alleluia.
Yeah.
You know, that's a very unique word. It's a worship word. You know, it wasn't made for man in first purpose. It was a word made for the people of heaven. And it actually means all the praises and worship that could be said and should be said, wrapped up in one word, hallelujah. Praise God. Now, it's not an earth word. When people of the earth try to use that word, it sounds so insincere. It does sound so bad. But we in the church, we say it freely.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Why? Because it was made for us. It was made for us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For a few minutes tonight, I would like to tie into the themes that we discussed together this morning in relation to the manners and the ways of the Lord. Oh, I guess it was 5 years ago, my wife and I sold our home and we moved into a condo. We purchased a condo. What an experience that has been. We were in our own home. I could park my car wherever I wanted. And if I wanted to leave a door open, I could do that. And there are many things in my own possession of our home that were there that were normal to me. In fact, they were regular. I didn't even have to ask my wife for anything. The only person that really violated the terms of our home was my son. And what he did was he would leave tools that I had carefully placed on a wall bracket, everything in order. He would come over while he lived with us. He would put his car in my place. Then he would take those tools and he would use them. And I would come back and they're in a new place, scattered all over the driveway. Some of them found a place back on the wall, not where I put them. It was irregular, and it really tried my Christianity at times. But he got away with it because everything was common. It was common for him to do that. It was common for him to ask me for money and then fail to give it back. Why? Well, that was a regular occasion. Now that he has his own home and that he is separated from mom and dad, you'd be surprised how aware he is of some of the common things he had as our son that are now an impression to him. He doesn't say to me, "Dad, can I lend a few dollars for gas?" He knows he might as well have said, "Dad, can you give me a few dollars for gas?" Because that's what happened. That was the realm, or that was the order, or that was the norm of what took place at that time. Do we have fathers here that the same experience happened to? Just slip your hands up. How many mothers have had an experience like that? My wife would give away our house. But I've learned that that is just normalcy. That is just what happens around our house. She gives things away, thank God for her. She hasn't given me away yet. But in relationship to what I'm speaking to you about is this. When I bought the condo, I found out there was things called common property. And there was a book full of rules regarding common property. I don't like those rules. I am used to doing what I want with what I've purchased. Even that though I bought this condo, there are things that I can't do. And it has been explained in the flyleaf of this book of rules for the benefit of everybody. We have this normal procedure in the condo. And I have begun to find out in our complex that for the good of the complex, we all must function in a certain way. Now, I think that that's a good example for how the church should be. For the good of the kingdom, everyone should function in a certain way. Can I hear an amen? And for the normalcy, which people like things to be normal, and for the normalcy of our condo, everyone lives the same way. We all practice what has been suggested to us. It is normal. It is that which is regular. It is only when I begin to apply this and know in judgment and watch it that we have many normalcies in the church. We have folks setting their own exampled way of living. We have those that say, "Well, I believe this and I partake of this, or I partake of that." I thank God for the practice that you have here in this church. Whether you know it or not, this is a good church. Go ahead, clap. But there are folks that come into the church or come into the membership of God's kingdom that are looking to find a product or a way of normalcy. What takes place here? What happens here? And I say, if you're a Christian, it is normal for you to read your Bible. Can I hear an amen? If you're a believer, it's normal to pray. It is normal to have grace in your spirit. Come on now. If you're a believer, let's have some leaves on the tree, because that's normal for the tree. Amen? And that which is not normal is judged by the Lord. Can I hear an amen to that? So we learn for the benefit of each other. So I want to say I thank God for the prayer room. I thank God for people that are praying in the prayer room. They're not only praying for their own needs, but they're praying for the rest of the church. If you're a Christian, that's what's going to happen to you. That is normal. That is not abnormal. That is not exceptional. That is regular normalcy. The practice of blessing in the church services and worship is not only on Mark's shoulders. He is not responsible to carry the burden for worship in the church only. It is on all of our shoulders. Hallelujah. And the same for the pastors that bring the word and bring the teaching. We dare not sit in our seats and say, oh, I don't know if I can agree with this, and he's not so good today. He was better yesterday or whatever. It is our normal practice to enjoy every word that comes to us. That's normal. That's not exceptional. And in many churches that I go to, normal Christian God practice is considered to be abnormal. It's not normal for us to have a standard that is not godly or a practice that is going to affect somebody. If you break the laws of the condo, you will be judged and penalized. But we can't do that in the church, but it has an effect. If you come here and you got a miserable look on your face, that is not normal, and you will give someone else the right to do it. Oh, I don't believe that, Brother Davis. Well, if the energy of your worship is less than what God expects out of people that his grace has been given to, don't tell me that Satan is not using that as an opportunity to give you the right to sit down and to be a dead stick. This service is not on the pastor's shoulders. This service is on all of our shoulders. Hallelujah. That's normal. And there are normal things with God that I may have shared them with you before at some time, but I thank God that he has given to us things that are normal to understand. If you're in this church, it is normal for you to come. It is normal for you to go to the prayer room. It is normal for you to support the house of God. It is normal for you. Do not set your own standard and your own rules, because it upsets the whole. Well, I get no thundering amens there. He'll say, no, it doesn't. I'm just a singular person. I can do what I want. Oh, no, you can't. In the kingdom of God, you are not allowed to do things on your own basis. People have been killed, destroyed, judged, because they tried to do things on their own basis, and God didn't put up with it. May I put this sentence out there? Nor should he. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, when the Spirit of God is moving and Mark has chose a song, I don't know the songs, but I sing and I worship and I do my best. I pound my knee or whatever because I want to be part of what is normal in the house of God. I'm not about to set my own standards. I have learned long ago that if it's up to me to set the standards, I am usually wrong. Have you ever noticed that when you're in your car and you're going through the border, the line you choose is always the slowest? Have you noticed that things always don't go right for you? We have no right. If we are Christians, we follow this. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I want to read you something that God gave to us, expecting us to be normal Christians to understand some of the things that he has written. If you turn to 2 Peter, in chapter 3, you have this written word. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto your pure minds by way of remembrance. So many people don't know how to think about God's things. We have been told the grace of God and salvation is so individual. We have got the idea that we can choose our own individual practice. Are you here tonight? He said, I want that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Listen. Jesus, or God the Father, never left Israel to their own ways. He gave them direct commandments. Can I hear an amen? So that they would know how to serve him. The whole world wants to do things their way. We are not of that carnality. We don't do that. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Why are they scoffing? Because they're saying we can do it our way. I read the newspaper the other day about some Hollywood star that passed away. And the text in our paper said, he did things his way. There's danger in that, folks. There's danger in listening to people's rights. When you really get close to Jesus, you'll be concerned about the Lord's rights. Hallelujah. They're saying things like this. Where is the sign or the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. God is giving to us an understanding. The first thing about God is that God discloses to us, I don't know if I've ever shared this with the church, but I am so glad that God has disclosed to us His purpose, His way, and the commands for Mel Davis to live. He has not left it a mystery. No one has the right to say, I don't know what God wants of me. Oh no, that is not correct, is it? And so here we have God who is giving to us, disclosing to us conduct. He's disclosing to us the purpose of His will for the future, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. God's telling us what is taking place. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same words, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Look at this. God is unfolding to us. God is telling us something that is not normal. God is telling us something that's exceptional. He is giving to us privileged information. Amen. And he goes on and says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that the day of the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. In the sight of God, in humanity, we argue for time, but in the sight of God, God, who is disclosing to us His purposes, His will, He tells us about Himself. And the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should be brought to repentance. Can you say amen to that? So the first thing as a believer, the first thing that is normal for a believer, the first thing that happens to every one of us that is not abnormal, but is that we begin to understand who is God and what is God like. Well, God is very faithful to tell us and to disclose unto us His purposes. And I want you to know that He is faithful to His disclosures. Have I ever shared this with the church? That God is faithful with what He discloses to us. People are asking, oh, what's going to happen to the world? What is going to be the end of the earth? Here is God disclosing His purpose, telling us so that we know the things that are normally going to happen to this world. Oh, to the world it's abnormal, but to those of us that have had the secrets of God brought to us, this is something that we need to value. We know what's going to happen to this world. We know what's going to take place to those that are unrighteous and those that rebel against the ways of the Lord. There is no confusion for the benefit of all. The Bible says that we live according to the level of the disclosure of God. And He warns us here, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness. Why is He saying that? Because evidentially it is a respect for the whole of Christianity. God is faithful to His people. And I want you to know the second thing that God wants us to share with is God is faithful to His godness. whether or not we think salvation has been constructed by the Lord and it's hard to understand and the ways of Christianity hurt us and all of these things, I want you to know God chose the way that Israel should serve the Lord. And if you were going to be a normal believer, you had to do it that way. Because God is faithful to his ways. Amen. Amen. Number one, God wants us to know that he is faithful to his disclosures. Whatever the Holy Spirit has taught you and come to your life and said to you, this is what I want you to practice. I want you to learn. It's not only for your sake, but it's for the good of the whole. God wants a church that's going to serve him. Not just sporadic individuals who have their own doctrine. We all must enter in to the unity of God's teachings. This service is not on my shoulders only. It's on the shoulders of every believer to say, yes, Lord, we hear the word of God and we will agree it. And if you don't do that, you will cause an effect for somebody else. And it is not the common good of the body of Christ that you'll be affecting. You'll be bringing in a negative spirit. I remember years ago when the fullness of victory marching and dancing and rejoicing in the Lord was restored to the house of God. Talk about arguments. Talk about people that had bad attitudes. You didn't even have to come in and ask them if they're pleased. They come along with this, that isn't my personality. Well, I get told that today. There are some people in other church denominations that don't clap their hands. Well, they wouldn't make it here. There's some people that don't feel you should have an audible shout. There's some people, that's not my personality. No, but they feel it's their right to detract from what God says is normal Christian behavior. Don't tell me that you're not affecting someone else. Don't you listen to that people's right garbage that's coming here and prevailing over our nation. People's rights this and people's rights that. Listen, when you come to Jesus at the altar, the issue is to be saved for eternity. And there is a big difference between salvation and hellfire damnation. Boy, that's a good clause. I wish you'd go home. Tomorrow I'm going home. But while I'm here, I want to say, God has disclosed. God has disclosed what he wants, what he desires. The Lord has spoken to us. Oh, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that I had the privilege of hearing that if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us my sins. I'm so thankful I heard that. And God is faithful to that disclosure. That was something that was a revelation. And it opened up my whole life to the blessing of God. Are you here tonight? Did it happen to you the same way? I'm so glad that God's promises are not empty. They're just there. And all one day when we have revival in the church, I've heard that so much. One day when God's moving in the church, people are going to be healed. It's always measured upon what we need. We need to start measuring our church on the basis of what God wants the church to be. Amen. Go ahead, give a good clap, because that was a good word. So I want you to know God is faithful to his teachings. God is faithful to his wishes. God is faithful to his disclosures and what he has taught us. He is faithful to that. It's not going to change. It's going to be the same tomorrow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Second, God is faithful to his godness. There is no funny things going on in this church, and we're blaming God for it. You understand? God is faithful to his godness. When he has said this is what's going to happen to the world, it is going to happen. For the Bible says that God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. But God has given us an alternative to what he has said about the world. He said, we are there to receive deliverance by the preparation of the hand of God. None of us have an excuse. Can I hear an amen? God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, because we feel we have a right, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The last thing that I'm so glad that God is faithful to, and that there is a normalcy with God that we can rely upon. Our God is faithful to his grace. He is faithful to his provisions. Paul spoke it and said these words, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus Christ. I thank God for salvation, but I thank God for daily grace. Come on now. That has become so normal with me that when I pray, I have to stop at the altar first sometimes, and I finally get past the altar of sacrifice, and I get into the place of where the incense of worship flows with liberty and freedom. Oh, I'm able to thank God for that. I don't know if you have ever prayed, first of all, saying, I shouldn't have done, I shouldn't have said, but somehow that's good for us. That measure of knowing the conviction of the Lord. I thank God for conviction. I worry if I would be left alone, because that's God's system. When people do not search after them, they go into the confusion of where they're left to themselves. Please don't be left to yourself. I thank God that he is not leaving Mel Davis to himself. Mel Davis doesn't know what he's doing. Mel Davis has to have the grace of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So he says, in everything, you are enriched in him, in all utterance, in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you become behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you might be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. What an aspect of God. What a way that God wants us to be aware of. God is faithful, and he discloses to us the secrets of the future. He discloses to us what is going to happen in this world. He is faithful to that. Then he is faithful to his own godness, that he is God. He's always the same. You read the book of Malachi, and many times the emphasis is not only on giving, but it's emphasized, I am the Lord. I change not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that we serve an unchanging God. Can I hear an amen? Let that be emphasized in our spirit. If God puts us under conviction, it won't change tomorrow. It'll be the same thing tomorrow. Hallelujah. If you can't stand something in this church, then go somewhere else, because if you come back here, it'll be the same thing. If you don't like God the way God deals with you, leave the altar, go your own way. But when you come back, God will not have changed one whit. I'll give you an experience. I had a brother in my church that had problems picking up people to go to church. And he said, if you expect me to give people a ride to church, I'm leaving this church. Well, threats are not always favorable in my eyes, yours as well. So I said, I don't know what to do, brother, but wouldn't it be good if you could use your car to bring people to church? I'm leaving this church. Okay. He came back 6-7 years later. Do you want to know what was the thing that was still there? I'm ready now to pick up people to go to church. Now, who did that prevailing conviction? I'm so happy that the thing he left over was the thing that when he came to the altar, it was right there. Hallelujah. God is faithful to his godness. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a judge of the whole world. Our God is going to destroy that with unquenchable fire that has not been pleasing to him. This I thank the Lord for. That disclosure is real. And the last thing I thank God for is when I got up this morning, I was able to lift my hands and say, thank you, Lord. Wonderful. Wonderful, Jesus. Wonderful, Lord. Oh, God, present yourself in the church today. What I'm saying to you, if you're a normal believer, the responsibility of the testimony of Jesus is on our shoulders. The responsibility of the services are on our shoulders. The responsibility for leading in worship is not just the leaders who have talents to bring us to that. It is our responsibility. Can I hear an amen? Don't get used to anything less. Hallelujah. I thank God today for the grace of the Lord that there are times when the Lord has forgiven me when I didn't deserve it. But tonight I'm talking to you about the fact is God is God all by himself. He has a right to set the pattern of his believers. He has a right to disclose to us what he wants to disclose, and he is God that deserves praise and thanksgiving above all. Amen. Give him the right to be God. Well, I've been with you this weekend, and I thank the Lord for the privilege of coming to be with you. Thank you for inviting me. Someone said to me, are you coming tonight? I said, yes, I'll probably come tonight and do a bit of yelling. It's so good to serve the Lord, isn't it? For the benefit of what God wants in ministry to this church, can you all be of the same mind? Can you all be of the same judgment? Don't come in here murmuring and complaining come in shouting and rejoicing. Because the success of this service is on all our shoulders. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. I pray that God puts responsibility on us and that we recognize that responsibility not as a burden but as a delightful experience. Amen. David said these words, I delight to do thy will, O Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Stand with me tonight, will you please? Let's bow our heads in prayer. I'm looking out at the church, and I feel that there should be an opportunity to pray. If there is something that you have been feeling that you have the rights to, is not it a correct saying for you to sacrifice those things? Many times as a pastor in days gone by, folks have shared with me that they're looking for a church that actually would bring great joy to them. Well, I'm here to tell you and I tonight, God's church is really a satisfying church. Amen. And the key to that is we're all responsible. Amen? We're all responsible. Father, I pray tonight that simple words like these will somehow ring in our spirit, that we will not be a rebellion, be a person that represents rebellion or question or wonderment or worry. But when we come in, we'll be conscious of the person next to us, the person aisles away, the person that is leading us to the throne, person that's bringing forth the word. We all are responsible for the release and the blessing. That is just normal. Thank you, Lord. We do not want to practice something that will injure those that are coming for the first or second time or who are here. Help us, O God. Let's cry out, help us, O God. Help us, O God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And all the people said,
amen.
God bless you. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a thank you tonight. Thank you, Jesus.